All right. Everyone have a good lunch? Woo! All right. So a big thanks to our next speaker, because he was our lunch sponsor today. So thank you, Bruce and MAI. Well, one of the great things about this process of starting Rights Tech is kind of the unexpected sectors and parts of the equation that have come into it. And this is one example. Bruce's company, MAI Global, is really one of the preeminent companies in media auditing. And I'll let him explain what that is and what that means, but it's really a pleasure to have you here, and glad to have you part of the community.
Thank you very much. Can everybody hear me adequately? Great. First of all, I'd like to say thank you very much to the Rights Tech team for being so persistent in encouraging us to participate. I'm also, quite frankly, very humbled by the participants. You know, I've spent the better part of 20 or 30 years, running and growing MAI, and you know, I've always lived in a very small space, even though we audit $30 billion in revenue a year. To see this new perspective, this new area that, you know, quite frankly, we have never been part of, you know, it's absolutely fascinating. So, you know, I look to continue our participation going forward. Talk a little bit about, unlocking value through media audits. I'll move this through, time permitting. You know, trust but verify. It's basically our motto. You know, for about 30 years, we've been representing, you know, content owners in a very non-transparent industry, and audit has, quite frankly, been the building block of verification of transactions and subscriber fees in our industry. Basically, very quickly, in our world that I live in, the United States, I'd say about 99% of all major content owners, and basically, if you go to your cable channel dial, you know, probably as you scroll down what's on TV, I'll tell you we probably represent virtually every single major network on that dial today in our audit program. Of those 99% that we represent, probably we 95% of those content owners, channel groups, you know, have audit rights, and they actually execute their audit rights on an annual basis. Within our industry, quite frankly, when I talk about our industry, I refer to for cable television and working with the major Hollywood studios, audit is the norm, not the exception. On an annual basis, we audit domestically alone domestically in Canada, we probably audit more than 85 million TV households on an annual basis. Media auditing has had a real impact, quite frankly, on how operators and content owners actually work with each other. While we are a small company, I'd like to think that we've had a major impact on our industry. What we do, we're third-party contract compliance audits. We represent content owners, and we go into aggregators, and we basically audit the revenue stream over a course of 12 months to literally 5 years. So why are we permitted to audit? The building, we get in for one simple phrase, the right to audit the books and records. You know, basically that is our calling card to get into an aggregator or a cable operator today. As I mentioned earlier, I'd say about 99% of all content owners today that I work with have the right to conduct the audit. Why is the accurate reporting of subscriber counts, transactions, and streams so important? Among the many reasons, the more recent one is Wall Street pays attention. You know, how often do you open up the trades and you read about press about Amazon, Netflix, Dish, the list is endless. And the first thing that they quote is the number of transactions, the number of subscribers. Wall Street pays attention to these numbers. A little bit more granularity in terms of, how we perceive, the reporting. Today, reporting subscribers and transactions is becoming the new currency in our business, accurate reporting. Company valuations and stock prices, quite frankly, fluctuate by what is being reported in the press. You know, I think everybody had probably over the last several years, you know, every time, you know, Netflix or Dish, you know, report their current or earnings or their subscribers, markets react to the, you know, how well those companies are growing or if they're not growing fast enough. You know, overseas in particular, regulatory authorities want accurate subscriber reporting because public policy is actually, you know, created by virtue of, you know, what is proper subscriber reporting, what are the current forms of distribution, and where they want the growth to occur. And of course, content acquisition, cash flow, budgets are all about, built around subscriber reporting and proper projections. Why audit? You know, we've used this word and over during this meeting all this morning. It's all about clarity and transparency. Now, of course, when I go into a potential client, I don't necessarily talk about clarity and transparency. I talk about them getting paid correctly. But when you aggregate what from all the different clients we represent and the impact we have on the industry, quite frankly, at a 30,000 foot level, this is what we really are bringing to the industry is clarity and transparency. For those that don't know what we do, a very simple diagram and sort of a tripartite representation. You know, you have a consumer, you have the distributor, you have the content owner. Okay. If you look at, you know, moving through this quickly, the relationship between the distributor and content owner is basically what we audit. Okay. For those that are in this part of our business, what is reported by the distributors to the content owners is probably, quite frankly, from a content owner's perspective, almost no transparency. You know, it's based on the honor system. You know, obviously consumers have a one-to-one relationship with the distributors, and that, as I mentioned, that could be, you know, Xbox, Comcast, Amazon, you know, the content owners, and that, of course, that could be any Hollywood studio or any cable channel. They're very much, quite frankly, their relationship with the aggregators is based on what we call the honor system. At the end of the day is that, you know, you are to trust what the aggregators are providing to you. There's almost no transparency into what they're reporting, the accuracy of that reporting, until you actually conduct an audit. You know, quite frankly, media auditing has been the catalyst to drive industry reporting standards, something that we've discussed, you know, quite frankly, extensively this morning. And I actually wrote this presentation before I heard the presentations this morning. It encourages best practices between partners. You know, media auditing and other content owners, you know, it's a means to reconcile differences in license fee administration between, quite frankly, when they sign a distribution agreement. It's usually before the ink is even dry that you have, you know, cable operators or aggregators already arguing over the finer points of the distribution agreements. You know, the audit program itself allows, it basically is a process of really reconciling those differences. Media auditing offers stakeholders the opportunity to ensure compliance with their distribution agreements. You know, quite frankly, without having an audit in place, most content owners really do not understand how their distribution agreements are performing as a result of the lack of transparency into what the aggregators are paying on. You know, why is there an urgency now to audit? I think, you know, again, from this morning's conversation, you know, there are a number of key items that are affecting us today, and I think everybody acknowledges it as well, is the rapid growth and consolidation can stress organizations and their business processes. You know, we live in a world today, at least from my perspective, is that, you know, the content is being distributed in so many different forms, in so many different channels today. You know, those that are responsible for contract negotiations, contract administration, basically, you know, are the last to be involved in this process, and it tends to put a lot of stress on these organizations. You know, content distribution, most aggregators today are looking to basically, their investment is in, you know, content acquisition, content creation, and very little effort in many cases is really being applied towards the back end of the deals of how do you pay license fees. Quite frankly, I wouldn't quite put it as an afterthought, but the resources applied towards developing distribution channels, developing new content, far outstrips in many cases the administrative part of any content aggregator to properly administer their license fees. Rapid changes in the marketplace, and again, can outstrip the terms of your distribution agreement. I can point to probably, 5 or 6 years ago when Apple launched the iPad, and all of a sudden content was now being distributed over the iPad. I can tell you half the major cable networks today, quickly opened up their distribution agreements to determine whether, in fact, an aggregator had even a right to distribute over on the iPad. Quite frankly, on a year-by-year basis, an audit program allows you really to reconcile changes in the marketplace to the distribution agreements. It's almost every year you have to go through the audit to ensure that the distribution agreement, the terms and conditions of those distribution agreements are relevant in a very changing marketplace. Also the very basics here, disagreement with what defines what I call a billable transaction versus or a subscriber. Our business is built on very specific definitions of what is a transaction, what is a billable transaction, what is a subscriber definition that they should be paying on. The definitions and the distribution agreements I've been part of for better part of 30 years, quite frankly, hasn't changed that much. If you talk to a cable network, you talk to a studio, and you ask them what is a definition of a billable subscriber, and then you go to a cable operator and you ask the same question, you'd be very, very surprised that there's a huge difference in interpretation of what should I be paying on. And quite frankly, the conversation this morning about smart contracts, which is, quite frankly, something, being somewhat naive, I'd never even heard of before until this morning's meetings. And I can't help you but think that smart contracts, generally are not created by necessarily the smartest people, or quite frankly, being administered by the smartest people. And hence, smart contracts, I love the idea. As long as people are involved, in contract negotiations, writing those agreements, and then ultimately for those that actually are left to administer those agreements, inevitably you're going to always have problems in terms of the simple question, am I getting paid correctly? Within your organization, transparency and clarity equals greater opportunity. Presentation's a little bit long. I just sort of keep on going on. When you do audits, you take the subjectivity out of your relationship with your partner. We have gone in for better part of 30 years, quite frankly, as an independent arbitrator of those distribution agreements, and as a result of our deep understanding of the cable industry, of distribution agreements, we are very capable of providing a very impartial view of those contracts. Having proper audits, proper subscriber reporting, proper revenue recognition, obviously all those lend well to improving the accuracy and the integrity of your financial statements. When you go into an audit, when you receive an audit, it gives you very much of an insight into how operators or aggregators actually work. How they collect information, where they store it, how they conduct license fees. It gives our clients obviously very good information as they start to negotiate their next contract cycle. Of course, when you sign an agreement, I know many cable networks and content owners spend months, if not years, trying to negotiate very difficult distribution agreements, especially in today's environment where content is moving in all different directions. When you sign an agreement, obviously it's your best interest to maximize the value of that agreement. And quite frankly, we spend a great deal of our time working with our partners, showing them ways where the agreements could show improvement, where they can enhance the value of those agreements as well. Normalizing subscriber reporting within your territory. This is very relevant, quite frankly, in overseas. You know, we work with a number of different both operators who we audit. We work with a great number of channel groups. And quite frankly, in Europe, it's all about leveling the playing field. You know, unlike the United States, there are various, I guess the further east you go, subscriber reporting is a little bit more precarious. So the further east you go, you know, the subscriber reporting to networks is a bit of creative writing. There are companies that, you know, play by the rules in Europe, and their greatest concern, quite frankly, is that everybody else play those rules. And that's why I call it normalize the playing field. And many operators that, you know, we have audited previously actually encourage audit for the sole purpose of ensuring everybody else reports their subscriber counts accurately. You know, obviously proper subscriber reporting will support your ROI in your territory. Extending the value of the audit findings. You know, one of the things that we bring to both parties, whenever you have an audit and you have audit findings or audit issues, you know, it falls into really very two simple categories. Either the aggregator is not reporting the correct transactions, or there's a difference of opinion in terms of the actual agreements and the terms and conditions of those agreements. What we do, quite frankly, as a result of the audit itself, we isolate exactly where there are issues. Are there shortcomings in how aggregators, distributors, cable operators actually aggregate that information and report? When it comes to a quote a contract issue or a rate issue, it really just defines why are they not on the same page? Why are there differences in interpretation of those agreements? The audit process in itself identifies those issues and ultimately will help reconcile those issues between both parties. Audit reports will improve future distribution agreements. We talked briefly about that. Audit reports give our clients great insight into the subscriber footprint of various cable operators in terms of how they report or, quite frankly, what they interpret, as I mentioned earlier, as a billable subscriber. When you sign distribution agreements and the reporting subscribers, you know, very common practices are, do you know how they treat, very simple terms, how do you treat gratis subscribers? How do you treat bad debt? How do you treat suspense accounts? All these issues are part of our audit program in defining what should an aggregator pay to a content owner. You know, with public disclosure, compliance of an audit program will enhance shareholder and investor confidence. I think that's a given. And quite frankly, our audit reports, we produce probably 2,500 to 3,000 audit reports a year across, you know, our entire client base. Our reports usually wind up, quite frankly, in the hands of internal audit or external audit, especially when it comes to revenue verification.
Bruce, I think we're going to have to wrap it up because we're out of time.
Okay, well.
Are you going to be around for the rest of the day?
Yeah.
All right, fantastic.
I am here if you'd like to talk more about it. My Richard Tabb, my SVP of Broadcast and Digital Services, is also present. So if you have any questions, please feel free to pull us aside.
Terrific. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.